Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, my friends, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 52 for June the 24th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to guide you through this magical world of networks, Windows servers, and everything IT related. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Check it out at techpodcast.com. Folks, I wish you'd please check out my website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on all of these shows. Simply look for episode number 52 and click on a comment, and you can leave me some feedback. You can also leave me a voice message at 724-701-0550. That's 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, please email those to me. I'd be glad to hear what you have to ask for and try to take your ideas and bring those up to you on another podcast in the future. You can email those to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and as @technoman. Folks, tonight we are broadcasting live and in living color. Okay, not really in living color. But we are broadcasting live on Spreaker, which I'm planning on doing each week as long as I can bring a show to you at a regularly scheduled time. The regularly scheduled time is Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when we're live on Spreaker. And if you go to the Spreaker, you can either catch us on your smartphones, you can catch us on your computers, your iPads, your Android devices, and tablets. And what's nice about it is you can actually get in there and there is a chat feature. So you can click on the chat room and you can actually chat during the show. So I can get some kind of instantaneous feedback from you and possibly incorporate that into the show as we're recording this podcast. If you are in fact listening to us on iTunes, thank you very much for joining me. And the numbers are really up. I know there's a lot of you out there listening and I have received emails stating the fact that you have been tuning into the shows, and I'm really happy to hear that. Because what is a podcaster who broadcasts and records podcasts and nobody listens to it? I'd be like talking to myself. Folks, I wanted to let you know what tonight's beer is. Tonight's beer selection is from the Yards, that's Y-A-R-D-S, the Yards Brewing Company, and it is a chocolate stout. And it is one of those thick chocolate stouts where you're like chewing your beer. It's like a dinner in a glass. That's from the Yards Brewing Company. And again, it's a chocolate stout. Folks, I'm sure as you already caught from the title, you would see that this episode is going to be talking about Windows updates. Now, Windows updates are one of those things that a lot of users, a lot of your users in your offices think that those are a pain in the side. It's a pain in the back to be able to go in there and listen or click on update now, and then they got to wait, and then the computer's going to reboot, and your users just don't want to do that. I know many of our users just don't want to click on the update button. Even my clients in the offices, when I tell them it's okay to do so, tend not to do so. So we have to find a way to update these computers and make it so it's automatic. Now, let me tell you the first thing. The first thing off I'm going to tell you is if you work for a client and you set their computers to do an automatic update whenever the updates are available and automatically install that, you may in fact be lining yourself up for some trouble. And that trouble would definitely be the fact, and it's happened to me many of times, an update rolls itself out from Microsoft and it changes something to that computer. That's what the update does. That's what it's made to do. Maybe plug a hole, maybe change a network, maybe change the TCP/IP stack. Something's going to happen to that computer. And when this happens, what tends to happen sometimes is it could break some of your other software that you have running on that machine itself. Now, Microsoft doesn't do this intentionally. They don't do this because they want to break something on your computer. It's just sometimes it's that casualty of war effect. They do something good, and there's a casualty that can happen to that. So I do not recommend you to turn on automatic updates and walk out of an office. I would rather you see you control those updates. Find ways to keep those updates controlled so you know what's getting put on that computer. The best case scenario is if you work as a technology administrator is to have a test machine with all the software on that your company uses. That machine is the one that you want to update each week. You run the updates. Pay attention to what the updates are. So many times a lot of folks out there update these computers and they don't know what number it is, what build it is, or anything about the update. Take some time and learn about the update. And I know we're busy, so this segment and this show is going to help you if you're a busy IT administrator such as I am, and it's going to help you and lead you in the right path to make this a lot easier on you and still be able to manage what's getting pushed out there. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. Now, we have found in the past that the time of the updates are very, very important. So your updates, if you set your updates to update every night at 2 in the morning, let's just say, for example, and your client computers, which I hope they're turning them off, but some IT directors and some folks out there, it might be you, that have clients, you may tell your clients, hey, leave your computers on all night. It won't hurt them. I tend to be one of those guys that say, hey, shut that machine off at night. So if your update is set for 2 in the morning and the office closes at 5, which a lot of the doctor's offices close at 5, what happens is that computer will never get updated anyway if you have the automatic updates on. So you have to set the updates sometime during the day. I chose to do mine, when I send my updates out, I chose to update the computers at noon. At noon, most people are having their lunch, so it doesn't really interfere with anything. It's a good time of the day to have them, and you know the computer's going to be on. So remember, if they shut them off at night, don't schedule those updates for 1 or 2 in the morning, which I know a lot of people tend to do. We don't want to do that. Now, as I said earlier, users don't want to do updates in the first place. But make sure that the user can't go into control panel and turn off automatic updates. Now again, make sure your users can't go into the control panel and turn off automatic updates. That, folks, should be a policy on your server. Your server should dictate what the users can do in that control panel. Your server should also dictate when those updates go and when those updates get installed. When the user looks at the update manager in the control panel, the only thing the user should see is updates managed by the administrator or by the server, and it should be grayed out. And we're going to walk you through some of those and tell you where to find some of those policies. Now, what we're going to talk about in this particular show is how we can control all these updates. It's a great way to do it. And it's very, very easy to manage on your part. It's going to be a huge time savings for you to do this. How many of you out there, and you can raise your hands and be honest about it, tend not to do updates weekly, tend not to do updates monthly, because it is very time consuming for the technology directors, technology coordinators, or the guy and the girl out there in the office that became the office techie to walk around to each computer and run an update. It does take a lot of time. So we tend to push that off, and that goes to the back of our plate, and it's just something that we don't really want to worry about. Now, we know that these Windows Update services and these Windows updates plug holes, take care of vulnerabilities in the computer, they secure our machines, so it's very important that we do that. How many of you out there have remoted into your servers or your virtual servers, and it comes up and says, updates available? Do you click on it? You say, hey, let's update that server now, right? If we never remote in, we never know when those updates are available. So you have to basically write yourself a schedule. We live, and my boss asked me one time at the workplace, said, look, Jack, I'd like to see your weekly schedule of what events you do each week. What does the technology department do from the time you walk in the door until the time you walk out the door? And I said, you know, that would be great. And I used to make lists. I used to make a list every day, walk in the office, say, look, this folks, this is what we're going to do. I'd get my interns together in a morning meeting. We'd sit down and we'd look at what we want to do, and we would go out and do those. Folks, I can't even do that for my clients. My clients' office, the clients that I work for, that most of the offices hold about 5 to maybe 10 computers. I can't even walk in there with the list that they've sent me, because the office manager will email you if you've ever done any client work before and consulting work. The office manager will email you and say, look, this is a list of stuff I would like to have done when you come out on a certain day. Because most of those clients, you can either do, you know, you charge them hourly or they're retainers, so they know you. And they will send you, you know, you go to visit them maybe once a month on a Wednesday or however you decide to work that. They know Wednesday when you're coming in, they want you to look at these certain things and help them fix a couple things. And that's wonderful until you walk through the door. As soon as I walk through the door in a client's office, what I'll get is, oh, Jack, by the way, this machine is no longer printing. The other day I walked in a client's office, they said, Jack, we got 3 new laptops from our vendor, from our software vendor. Can you hook the printers up to them? Can you put them on the wireless? That wasn't on my list. That wasn't what I was thinking of doing. So I know as an IT professional, you building a list is not the best case scenario. But folks, you should have your updates on your calendar somewhere. Even if you say, look, on Wednesday, I'm going to work on my updates. That's fine. Put it on every Wednesday of the month, because one of those Wednesdays you'll be freed up to check the updates and see how your computers are actually working. And I'm just not talking about Windows updates here. You know, we're talking about your vendors. And I often complain about my vendors with updates because they should email me and tell me there's an update. And we have one very, very good vendor that does that on a regular basis. They will email me and say, Jack, look, there's an update. Log into the system and download it and update your software. But most vendors expect us, the technology folks, to go to their website and see, hey, is there an update? And go to the next website. Is there an update? That gets kind of old. And it gets really, really monotonous trying to figure out all these different companies and seeing if there's updates for any of the software that we are using. So I thought in this show I would tell you how to manage those a little bit better. And it is using the WSUS, or Windows Server Update Service. Now, the Windows Update Service is very easy to install. Now, if you are running Windows Update Service, you're like, look, I'm running Windows Update Service, and I've been running it for quite some time. That's great. That's fantastic. You already know what I'm talking about the benefits. But let me tell you, if you look at the technet.microsoft.com and look for Windows Update Services, you will find that it's been updated since May 30th, 2014. And it's been updated now to Windows Server Update Services 3.0 with Service Pack 2. Now, let me tell you what this will help you with, and then we'll walk through some of this. The Windows Server Update Server, or WSUS, enables information technology administrators to deploy the latest Microsoft product updates. Now, folks, did you just hear what I said? Microsoft product updates. When I first started using WSUS, WSUS was only made to update the Windows operating system. But now if you use Microsoft Office, it will actually now pull down the Office updates, and you can instruct it to update your Office packages on those computers as well as the operating system. So it's all Microsoft products can now come through the WSUS servers. By using WSUS, administrators can fully manage and distribute updates that are released through the Microsoft update to computers in their network. Now, pick up on that. You can fully manage. That's the key. When we first set this up and we started playing with this Windows Update Services, what happens is you get a list of all the updates that come through. Remember that test machine I told you should build a little bit earlier in the podcast? That should be the only machine you should first deploy these updates on. You should test out each piece of software to make sure it's going to work okay, make sure it's compatible with the update. sometimes you will update your computers and that software will break. And then the software vendor has to come out with a fix or a patch to get that back into order. If you have a piece of software that breaks, you can always revert back by taking the latest update, whichever one, and uninstall it. And we know we can do that through programs and features. If you're using older machines, it's the software. You can go in and do the software, do the add remove software off the computer, and you can take that update off. Now, the WSUS server provides the features that administrators need to manage and distribute updates through a management console. Now, folks, this is great. This is a great benefit. And when we first started using this thing, sorry, a little pauser for the chocolate stout. When we first started using this management console, it's wonderful. It opens up in a web page, and you go through, you'll see the latest updates. It's broken down by date. So you'll see whatever updates come out, and they come into your update console, your management console. You can go in that management console and check, I want this update to be pushed, this update to be pushed, and this update to be pushed. And those get pushed out. Now, that leads me to telling you about another great a great aspect of the WSUS server. Let's say, for example, if you work in a large corporation. Let's say if you work for a hospital. Hospitals tend to have thousands of computers. Now, think if you take those thousands of computers and you have your internet connection. We know hospitals run 24 hours, 7 days a week. And all of a sudden, all the computers in the hospital start to slow down and bog down. Why is that happening? Because all those computers want to go out to the internet and pull all those updates down simultaneously. Where the WSUS server comes in to be such an important role in your server rack is it is the only one downloading these updates. So all the updates come down to your server, and then that server, all of your workstations talk to that server on your network. We have found that this has increased our bandwidth limitations through the roof because we don't have to worry about, you know, whenever these updates come out, that all these updates have to be distributed across our wireless or across our local area network, the wired network. And we don't take up our internet pipe and have to worry about that internet speed. It's very nice. It's very easy to manage. Now, it says the WSUS server then acts as an update source, is called an upstream server. In a WSUS implementation, at least one WSUS server in the network must connect to Microsoft Update to get the available update information. The administrator can determine, based on network security and configuration, how many other servers connect directly to the Microsoft Update server. Now, in my experiences, running up to, I would say, you could safely run up to 1,000 workstations off of one WSUS server. Also, we're going to look at some specs here in just a minute for this server, what you need to have. But what I found is it's good to have at least a one terabyte hard drive to put these updates on. Now, you can always go in there later and clean out old updates that you don't need anymore, and you can fix that up. But it's good to have at least a terabyte. So that way, when these updates come down, you know you have plenty of room to store them so you can push those out to your workstations. Now, update management is the process of controlling and deployment and maintenance of interim software releases into production environments. It helps you maintain operational efficiency, overcome security vulnerabilities, we talked about that, and maintain the stability of the production environment. If your organization cannot determine and maintain a known level of trust within its operating systems and application software, it might have a number of security vulnerabilities that, if exposed, could lead to a loss of revenue and intellectual property. Minimizing this threat requires that you have properly configured systems use the latest software, and install the recommended software updates. Folks, have you ever thought, you know, when you look on the news and see these companies, these retail stores, when their servers get compromised, when something gets hacked, and they tell you, look, if you have a such and such, I'm not picking any store names, but if you have such and such credit card, you know, you might want to send it in and get a new card reissued. If you used your Mac card at this store or that card or that store, you may want to contact your bank and look at the charges on that card and make sure there's nothing, you know, going wrong with that card. This could, in fact, you know, we're not even talking about the firewall updates, you know, on your Cisco gear or making sure you have the latest ISOs on your firewall. We're talking about the basic computer. All these organizations, as many as I've seen today, and I'm sure you've seen, walk in any store, the computer or the cash register is a computer. And a lot of those right now, and you know if you're in the tech field, that a lot of those are still running Windows XP. That's why this whole Windows XP thing came out. You remember there's a hack available that you can hack your Windows XP and Microsoft will think it's a cash register. And it will allow these updates until 2017 or something. I think it's 2017. I wouldn't suggest it. And I suggest, you know, to any retail outlet out there that you upgrade your computers to Windows 7. I know we're in a deployment stage now with some registers that have to be upgraded to Windows 7 because I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to take that chance of somebody finding that vulnerability. Plus, think of this, folks. If they're leaving those out now, if you know you can hack your Windows XP machine and get those updates until 2017, do you not think the hackers are getting those same updates and they're going to look at those and say, oh, look, here's a hole here. We can get right into some cash registers. And then next thing you know, there goes your credit cards. There goes your business, right? It really crushes some businesses out there. I've seen it happen many, many of times. Now, folks, if you're upgrading from versions Windows Server that supports WSUS 3.2 or Windows Server 2012 R2, it's going to require that you first uninstall WSUS 3.2. So if you upgrade to this new Windows Server, and I'll have a link to this TechNet in the show notes. So if you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and look for episode number 52. There'll be a link to this that you can go in there. You can actually read this thing for yourself. And there is a download link on here where you can actually download the newest Windows update. So you can actually download it and install that. But you have to first uninstall whatever you have right now. In Windows Server 2012, upgrading from any version of Windows Server with WSUS 3.2 installed is blocked during the installation process of WSUS 3.2. Is detected, if it's detected. And then you'll be prompted to uninstall Windows Server. So even if you don't uninstall it first, when you go to install the newest version, it's going to say, hey, look, I see an old version. I have to uninstall it. And it will do that for you. However, because of the changes in Windows Server 2012 R2, when upgrading from any version of Windows Server and WSUS 3.2 to Windows Server 2012 R2, the installation is not blocked because it's going to actually just update the operating system, if you can see what they're saying. But failure to uninstall WSUS 3.2 prior to performing a Windows Server 2012 R2 upgrade will cause the post-installation tasks of the WSUS in Windows Server 2012 R2 to fail. In this case, the only known corrective measure is to format the hard drive and reinstall Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, I'm reading that. Did you ever notice sometimes how Microsoft can double talk? They'll tell you one thing. It's just saying that, look, if you're upgrading from any version of Windows to Windows Server 2012 R2, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Oh, wait. But if you do that and don't uninstall the old WSUS server, the only way you're going to fix it is to format the hard drive and reload Windows. That's double talk. So for the baseline, let's just say this. If you're going to upgrade from Windows Server 2008 R2 to Windows Server 2012 R2, which I never recommend, unless you're migrating servers and you have a reason to do so, I always format the drive. I always reload the new operating system, and then I bring everything back. We could talk about that one day. Maybe I will. I have to put that in my notes somewhere to bring that show to you and talk to you about how you actually export your Active Directory, how you export your DHCP, how you export your DNS, and you can pull all that information out, load a brand new system, and then re-import everything. And it works great. We've done it many times, and it's perfect. The only thing I can say, when you export your DHCP, it tends to have a lot of garbage in there, a lot of leases that are out there that's not being used anymore, maybe a lot of leases for dead IPs. And then when you re-import that, you have all that trash again. So we'll bring that to you in another show, and we'll talk about that another time, how you would actually pull all that together. But for now, let's just say if you're upgrading from 2008 R2 to 2012 R2 and you have WSUS running, uninstall and get rid of it. Now, let's see here. Some features and functionality of 2012 R2 is the inclusion of Windows PowerShell commandlets to manage the 10 most important administrative tasks of WSUS. So you can automate a lot of this by using PowerShell. If you're not a PowerShell guru, which I'm not a PowerShell guru, you can find a lot of PowerShell scripts on the internet. If you read these things, it's pretty self-explanatory. A lot of these PowerShell scripts that we use, you look in there and it will tell you like a folder path. It'll tell you like a share, maybe a Windows share, whatever you call it. And you just edit it based on your situation, whatever your networks are. It'll say domain name. We'll put your server domain in there and you can edit it. Then it's going to teach you how to do some PowerShell. Folks, it's great to learn new things. That's why you're listening to this podcast. You're saying, hey, maybe Jack will bring me something new this week. To learn new things, especially in Windows environment, in computing in general, you have to be willing to learn. If you're not willing to learn and keep your mind open, you're going to be an old-timer sitting there with Windows NT 3.51. You're going to be sitting with Windows 3.1 trying to connect to the internet somehow. Our life, our business, what we do changes on a day-by-day basis. Some people argue with me and say, no, Jack, it changes on a minute-by-minute basis. Things change. As things change, you got to be adaptive. If you want to be in this business and you want to last in this business, you have to be able to adapt to those changes. So if you went to school 20 years ago and you got your degree on a Apple IIe, great. But if you're using the modern day operating system, OS 10 point whatever, you have to admit it's a little bit different, right? So if you didn't work with each version and work your way up and learn, you know, you have the principles of a computer, but you got to learn how things change and you have to be allowed to adapt with that. Now, there's also some security enhancements with SHA 256 hash compatibility that was not in Windows Server 2008 R2. Also, a client and server separation. Versions of the Windows Update Agent, WAU, can ship independently of WSUS. Let's talk a few seconds here about hardware requirements. Because remember, I said you don't have to have a big server to do this. You can virtualize this thing. It'll be just fine. I do recommend that you use a NAS system with this or a SanDisk or something. I don't like to virtualize all my virtual servers and put them on the actual physical box, because the idea of the virtual server is if the physical box breaks, we should still be able to maintain a 99.9% uptime and functionability with our server. And I can do that because I can just move that virtual machine to another VM server, a VMware server, and I can just maintain that and bring that server right back up. And nobody even knows a lot of times that it went down. So here's your main hardware requirements, your minimum hardware requirements for AWSUS. The processor should be 1.4 gigahertz, 64-bit processor, 2 gigahertz or faster is recommended. Folks, if you run a 1.4 gigahertz in your servers, it may be time to upgrade. Because, you know, 2 gigahertz is better. 3, 3.5, 3.6 is even better. So that's, but the, this is the minimum. Now, the WSUS requires an additional 2 gigabytes of RAM more than what is required by the server. So if your server, in fact, requires 8 gigabyte, I don't really know how they figure this out, but 8 gigabyte, you want 2 gigabyte more for the WSUS so it can reside in there and do its thing with 2 gigabytes of RAM. I tend not to want to even put servers in with anything less than 16 gigs of RAM. If it's a small office environment, sure, I'll do that with 8. But my workstations are running 8. Some of them are running 16. Don't you want your server to be a little faster and beefier than your workstations? Now here, I recommended 1 terabyte of storage because storage is cheap nowadays. Why do you want to worry about having to go in there and clean it and do all that, you know, maintenance all the time? They're saying the available disk space should be 10 gigabytes. 40 gigabytes or greater is recommended. So 40 gigabytes or greater is recommended. 10 gigabytes will work. Folks, throw a terabyte in there. The network adapter should be 100 megabytes per second or greater. Everything's always or greater. And if you have a gigabyte network connection, a gigabyte card, and you can plug this into a gig switch, do that. Because you're going to have a lot of traffic going through there. You know, the bigger the pipe, the more traffic, right? Just like if we see tunnels on the highways. The bigger the tunnel, if it's an 8-lane tunnel, we can fit 8 lanes of cars in there, not only 2. So the bigger the pipe, the bigger the traffic. So 100 gigabytes or more, but I would recommend at least use a 1. Instead of 100 megabyte, use at least a 1 gig card. Now, there are some policies you have to change in your group policy setting for automated updates. If you're new to the server, if you're one of those accidental techies I talk about in the opening of the show, you know, ask your employer maybe even to buy a book. Say, look, can you buy me a Windows Server book? Flip back through there to group policy settings. Because the group policies, and we talked about these on a past show, I believe, the group policies allows us to manage the computers, manage the workstations. And when you manage those, then people can't do certain things on those unless you give them explicit permission to do so. Now, these group policy settings for the WSUS client updates. I'm just trying to get to the right area here. First thing you want to do is you want to configure the Windows Update policy setting. You want to be able to allow automatic updates, immediate installation. You can allow non-administrators to receive update notifications. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Allow signed updates from the intranet Microsoft Update server location. Automatic updates detection frequency. Configure automatic updates. Delay restarts for scheduled installations. This is huge. One time I didn't do this, and what happened was somebody would be working on a paper, a document or something on their computer, and all of a sudden the update goes through and the computer reboots without even telling them. There's no warning. Now it says do not adjust default option to install updates after shutdown in shutdown Windows dialog box. And do not display install updates and shutdown. Enable client-side targeting. Enable the Windows Update Power Management to automatically wake the computer to install scheduled updates. We've never had much success with that policy. But that is supposedly the way it should happen. If you have network cards, it can wake on LAN. Now, if you don't know what that is, you probably don't have those. But a lot of the modern-day computers do, where the server can say, hey, computer, and the computer says yes, and it turns on because it's getting that information through the network card. And that's sometimes why, you know, way you can tell that is one way anyway, is if you turn the computer off and you still see your network light on your network card flashing, that is one way you can tell. I'm sure there's other ways you can tell that it is working. But if you have a Wake on LAN card, then this would work. It would wake it up. No auto restart with the logged on user for a scheduled automatic update installation. That's key. If your user's logged on to the computer, you know, you might not want to schedule your update when the user's logged on. Reprompt for restart with scheduled installations. Reprompt means that a prompt will come up, say, look, your computer's going to shut down in 5 minutes for an update. You can cancel or you can just allow it to go. So if the user is working on the computer, they can cancel it. Reschedule automatic update scheduled installations. Specify the intranet Microsoft update server location. This is key. This is telling it where that server is. It's usually the, you know, when you're in your policies, you got to say, look, the update server's IP address, da, da, da. And that way, when this policy is going out to the individual workstations, it will know where to be able to go to pull the updates. Turn on recommended updates via automatic updates and turn on software notifications. Now, you can find these under the policy name is computer configuration, not user configuration. Remember, we talked about policies in the past. There's two different sections. There's computer configuration and policies configuration. Then you go to administrative templates, Windows components, and then Windows updates. And that's where you can go through each one of those policies that I talked about. And if you read the examples, it will walk you through the steps of what you need to know for each individual policy. Let's just recap just real quick. It's never a good thing to allow automatic updates on a workstation because you don't know how it's going to interact with your software. Always build a test machine in your network with all the software that your company runs so you can test the software against updates. Make sure that your user can never disable updates. And folks, if you go through the group policy manager, it will be grayed out automatically. So you don't have to worry about them getting in there or doing anything. You don't have to disable them having access. They can see it, but it's going to be grayed out. And use a WSUS Windows Server Update service. I would suggest if you do not have a Windows Server 2012 R2 box right now in your network, and you don't have a WSUS server running, this is a fantastic place to start. Because you know what? It's not something you're going to rely on for your day-to-day operations. It's not your active domain controller. It's not doing your DNS or your DHCP. It's just sitting there quietly pulling those updates down, and then you're going to manage it. But that could be on your first Windows Server 2012 R2 servers running on your network. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this show tonight. And I hope you enjoy every show, actually, that I create because I enjoy talking to you and I enjoy the feedback. So if you get time, by all means, email me. Send us to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And again, if you listen to this on iTunes, go in there and give it a little rating. You know, fives are good, fours are good, twos, not so good. And maybe put a comment or two in there and say, look, I like these. I've had maybe one or two people go in there on iTunes and actually post something, and I appreciate that. I want to thank everybody out there who's been signing up for the Windows Server courses. You guys and girls out there are doing a great job. Many of you have completed the courses already and already have received your certificates. I really appreciate you in there. Also, remember, if you don't have high-speed internet, you can order the server videos on DVD by visiting jackstechcorner.com. Click in the little pull-down menu, and you'll see on there Windows Server 2008 R2 and Windows Server 2012 R2. Folks, if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi 5.5 server, from A to Z, that's installed to administration, please sign up for my online classes. And you can find it at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Look at the online class link at the top of the page and simply click on the courses and you will find the courses listed in there. Now, folks, I get a lot of emails about these courses, and people say, look, Jack, when do they start? When do they end? How long do I have to finish? Do I always have access? Here's the basis of it. The courses, remember, are self-paced. You watch a video and you take a short quiz. So they're self-paced. So you start whenever you feel like starting. Once you sign up and you're a member of that course, you are a member for life. I'm not ever taking you off, and you can always go back and check out that course. Also, the courses have no start and end dates, so they start and they end whenever you want to start and end. You can finish it in a week. You can finish it in I've had people in there for a year and a half, and they haven't finished yet. They're just taking their good old time with it. Now, once you complete these courses, folks, there is a certificate at the end that I will mail you, and it's great for your resume. It's also great for you to hang on your wall, and it's just an overall nice, you know, certificate to have. So once again, you can sign up for those at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, if you didn't catch me live this week on Spreaker, remember it each week, Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm planning on being here, so you can get on to Spreaker and check us out. Have a great work week. I'll be back here next Tuesday for another show. Take care, everyone. Get those WSUS servers set up, and you'll sleep a lot better at night. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening and tuning in, and I'll see you next week. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.